so great to welcome you to Flat Springs Baptist Church today, to be a part of this worship and to honor our mothers, whether they are living or whether they are deceased. We are glad to see you all. We're glad to see these children coming in here, and always good to have them be a part of the worship. Listen to these words that Mary sang after she visited with Elizabeth, after finding out that both of them were expecting children that were going to be used by God in a specific way. It's also known as the Magnificat. Mary said, "I am bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now." Let's pray. Father, we beseech your presence here. We are gathered here to worship you and you alone. Father, may every song we sing, every word we utter, be in honor and glory to your name. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 15, please.
Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day today, honoring our mothers, which are so important and special to all of us. Be with those who are sick or couldn't be here today, and place your healing hand upon them. And please accept this humble offering and guide us to use it in a way which pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Last Sunday night, we had our awards banquet for Awana. We had one little guy that wasn't with us because he was playing in a ball tournament. But it's a very special award this year. We've had Awana for 2 years. It is a three-year program in the Sparks program where they have to complete three of these handbooks. They have to recite and remember 150 Bible verses. We have one little guy that has done it in 2 years. He completed all three of his books. We are very proud of him. Austin, we have a plaque for you. And we have named Austin our first Master Sparker.
Congratulations. That's great. Morning, boys and girls. Good to see you this morning. I have a bag of candy here, and you might call it suckers. I believe they're called dum-dums. As you can see, there are all kinds of flavors in here. There's orange and grape and lemon, strawberry. But you know what I've noticed sometimes? I think there's also a butterscotch in there. And I've noticed that when you let children pick out of the bag, they're kind of picky. They'll take one out, and they'll put it back, and they'll say, no, I don't want that one. They'll pick out another one, saying, no, I don't want that one. And they see their friend get a grape, then they got to have a grape. And you know what? They leave all the butterscotch in the bag. Nobody ever chooses a butterscotch. I don't know if it's because the wrapper is different or the flavor is different, or maybe it just doesn't sound appealing. I don't know. But nobody ever chooses a butterscotch. And that leaves the butterscotch all in the bag. And guess what I do with the butterscotch? You got any ideas? I love butterscotch. So I get to eat all the butterscotch. You know, sometimes children are like that. They treat people like they do the butterscotch suckers. Sometimes when children play games, one person is always the last to be chosen. I don't know why. It might be because they're just a little bit different. Who knows? But Jesus teaches us something very important from our Bible story today about this. Our Bible verse today is one verse. is John 15:12. And here's what it says. Listen carefully. My command is this. And it says command. That means that that's something we must do, isn't it? My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. John 15:12. Love each other as I have loved you. And I'm sure that sometime or other we have all felt left out before, haven't we? It's not a really good feeling. But if you are ever the one left out, I want you to remember that Jesus loves all people. He said, love each other as I have loved you. If you are that ever that one, don't worry, because Jesus loves you just as much as he loves all those other children. He loves us all, doesn't he? So you remember that, and you love others as God has loved us. Let's have a prayer about that. Dear Father, help us to remember that Jesus taught us to love one another just as God loved Jesus and Jesus loved us. Let us keep this in our hearts each day. In thy name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls, don't forget to give your mom a hug today. And that goes for all you big guys, too. Okay? See you next week.
I've been out in the yard picking dandelions all day. I burst through the front door when I'd gathered enough to give to my mom to show her my love. And when I held out my hands, she looked down at me. She said, I've never seen flowers as beautiful. She's the one that told me about Jesus. She's the one that taught me to sing. She deserves an armful of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of then she calls on the phone. The first thing she says is, I've read this card over and over again. She's the one that told me about Jesus. She's the one that taught me to sing. She deserves armful of roses. She's satisfied with a handful of weeds. She's always known what true love means, and I want her to know what she means to me. She with a handful of wheat.
Next hymn, number 438, is a very beautiful hymn, but it's a very long hymn. So we're going to just sing the chorus after the first and the last verse. After the second verse, we'll go back to the beginning. Okay? I'll hold up my hands and I'll try to help you. Let's stand as we sing, 438.
This time, if you would, open your bulletin. You will notice our prayer requests in the section of the bulletin it usually is. Ongoing concerns, as well as concerns that have recently come about for us to pray over. I want everyone to take a minute to look at the holy assignment we have this week with all the names listed. And we know this is only a partial list. In one such instance, we need to continue to pray for Sandy Tillotson. Just learned about a stroke yesterday. She is now at Central Carolina. So continue to pray for her, and more information will come about as we receive that during the week, I am sure. It's a partial list, Our prayers need to be great this week. These prayers, or these concerns listed here, need our prayers greatly during the week. So I hope that we take this assignment serious. I hope it's an assignment that we look over each day as a church family gathered together to pray together to see our prayers answered in the way God sees fit. Let's bow for a moment now and have a word of prayer. God, we come before you, and we have a list of prayer concerns that we have brought before you. We have these printed and distributed in such a way where, as a church, we can gather together now and we can disperse during the week and remain united in the way we pray for one another and for the needs that surround our community and our world. So God, guide us in that endeavor this week. Give us the state of mind and the presence and conviction from your Holy Spirit to continually pray for all that is before us. So we are seeking your will, building your kingdom. And Lord, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
The Bible is full of stories, things that could only have been accomplished by God. No man could have possibly done them. For instance, Joshua led only 300 men to fight the Battle of Jericho. Their only weapons were oil lamps and ram's horns. Jesus fed 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 small fish. These are just 2 of hundreds of stories about how things happened that only God could do. Listen as we sing Mary MacDonald's piece, Only God.
Oh,
Absolutely. Only God, our God. Just let that reverberate through your hearts for a moment. It's powerful. Powerful moment of worship. Always exciting. You know, there are those moments in worship when you can sense the presence of God in an extraordinary way. I know I'm not the only one that has had those moments. Recently, one for me was when FSYC here at church was leading in worship, the spring program. Just one of those special moments where you can feel God's presence in an extraordinary way. Another moment is right now, as my mother's able to join us for our worship service on Mother's Day. I find that to be very special. Exciting day for us all to worship together. And at first I thought I could share a story about myself that maybe involved my mother to lead us into our passage of Scripture. I thought that might be fitting. But instead, I recently heard a story about another young boy that I just could not resist sharing instead. This story is about a boy named Thomas, not Matt. Thomas. So let's first begin by understanding that Thomas was not the best in school, average in elementary and middle school, mainly because he only worked hard when he wanted to, when it was convenient for him. This led Thomas to occasionally receive grades that were somewhat below his mother's standards. And what Thomas's parents wanted most of all was for him to reach his full potential, just to give all his effort on a task. However, that did not always happen, as I mentioned. Thomas found that playing outside with his friends was just more enjoyable from time to time. Well, one day in early middle school, Thomas received something called an interim report card. I think most of us know what that is. This was a report for children to take home to their parents to expose how well they were or were not doing in a particular class. The parents were then to sign the report, give it back to the child, and turn it back in. Well, one day, Thomas was enjoying one of his classes with all of his friends in the back of the room, and the teacher was handing out the interim reports. He was enjoying his day until this, in particular, interim was placed on his desk. His effort had shown to receive less than a stellar grade, as represented by the funny letter at the bottom of the page there. And this bothered Thomas. And he was sure it was going to bother his mother, too. You see, she'd be the first one to see it when Thomas got home, and that might put a damper on his outside playtime that day, or week, or month. Sometimes, Thomas came up with plans to try and help his parents out, and this was no different. Thomas came up with a plan. He thought to himself, I can help out my parents, and I can help out my mother, and I can save her from some time and anguish that she may experience. Thomas thought he could show her all the other interim reports, and so her hand wouldn't cramp up signing all the reports. He would take care of this one for her. I mean, he even took time practicing her signature to make sure it was just like she would have wanted it the previous night before he was to turn it in. He thought that was nice of himself. Well, the next morning, Thomas went off to school. He turned in all his interim reports, and he thought his good deed was done. Then it happened. Thomas's mother arrived at school in the middle of the day. That did not happen. Thomas remembers this vividly. Sitting at the lunch table with his friends, he can see the doors in the back open up, with his mother peering across the room looking for her son. Thomas did not think that she was looking to thank him for his good deed. That realization sank in, and it was as if time stopped, because his mother made eye contact with him, and he made eye contact with her, and his eyes bulged out. And he knew at that very moment his day was going to be just a little bit different. After a long conversation in his mother's car, Thomas emerged a new boy. He had a newfound respect and a new understanding of what it meant to live under his parents' house. Now, Thomas learned a lot that day. Thomas learned a lot of times. But I can only imagine in this story what his mother may have been thinking. Picture this, finding the signatures, practice signatures in his room. I can only believe the intense thought coursing through her mind during this time. I'm sure there was a lot of pondering taking place on what to do with this new information, how to move forward with all that now confronted her. For those of you who don't know, my first name is Thomas, so you can put the pieces together there. Sometimes it's good for the soul to share that which has taken place. Confession is good for the soul. This morning we will see how Mary's ponderings, mother of Jesus, were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want us to understand how the Holy Spirit empowers our thoughts. We're going to look at Mary, and we're going to see how she was aware that her son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, was leading to great things, and this overwhelmed her, and she had much to ponder. And I believe we have much to ponder as well. So if you would, and if you're able, please stand with me and turn to Luke chapter 2. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Luke chapter 2, 15 through 19 will be our passage of Scripture. Follow along with me. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Let's pray about it. God, we come before you seeking your will. And as we look for your will, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts, to lead us to discernment, to worship that will invigorate us and empower us to live a fruitful life for your kingdom's sake. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Hopefully this is a passage of Scripture we are able to recognize rather quickly. I preached the Sunday after Christmas this past year about how the great joy was received and how great joy never ceases. And here we read how the shepherds received the news of the Messiah being born. The shepherds went looking for the Messiah the angels told them about. And it says they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Then after they saw the baby, the shepherds told everyone what they had witnessed. It was true. What the angels said was true. Everyone was amazed by this news. I mean, think about it. This news changes everything. I can only imagine the euphoria surrounding such an experience. If you could possibly place yourself in this setting, it has to be just this heightened sense of emotion, a lot of thought coursing through your mind. Surely Mary, Jesus' mother, is sharing in this enthusiastic excitement. Surely she has this euphoric expression upon her face, and she is exclaiming to the world around her this wonderful news that has been affirmed to her yet again. But then we look at verse 19. How did Mary celebrate this great news? How did Mary expose her great joy? Look at what it says. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's not quite what I was expecting. I don't know about you, but I get it. I understand. I imagine Mary experienced a flood of thought. She most certainly vividly remembered the words the angel brought to her about the son she was going to give birth to. We find that in Luke chapter 1, several verses, 31 through 33. Hopefully you remember what it says. The angel told Mary, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." It's all coming into fruition here. Mary is affirmed yet again. This has to create a level of excitement that is hard to process. It's hard to expose. I can only imagine that Mary's heart is jumping for joy when the shepherds come and share this affirmation again and again. I mean, think about how extraordinary these events are taking place, and Mary being partially at the center of it, and it's all coming to fruition just like she believed it would. But now she's experiencing it. She's not just believing what will happen. It has happened. It is happening right in her very midst. I can only imagine such an extraordinary experience being very hard to share in any outward way with emotions and thoughts like they were. And so for that reason, the way I wrestle with that kind of thought of how she could share these thoughts and emotions, I believe it's at this point the Holy Spirit really completely takes over Mary's thoughts, her emotions, her actions, because this is a lot to comprehend. For her to comprehend and process such an experience, submissiveness to the Holy Spirit is the only option. She has to be completely submissive to the Holy Spirit's guidance at this point, as she has been. Mary believes all that has happened and will happen, but I believe the Holy Spirit is guiding her in a very powerful way, leading her thoughts and emotions every step. It's hard to process sometimes when that happens, isn't it? You can't really put it into a scientific formula of how it takes place. It's different for each one of us on how we experience the Holy Spirit guide us with our experiences and our emotions and our thoughts, especially when we're right in the middle of something that causes such an uprising of thought and emotion. But we see how the Holy Spirit guides and how God guides through His power of the Holy Spirit in Scripture many times. The Spirit often brings information and convicts in such a way where it is difficult to process that which is happening. It takes time and constant attention to understand what's taking place and how to apply what is taking place in one's life. I mean, look at Samuel. Look at how God spoke to Samuel. He literally heard God speaking to him in the middle of the night. Three times. And it took the third time for him to go to Eli and say, "Yes, here I am." For Eli to realize, "Oh no, this is God speaking to you. Go back, lie down, say your servant is listening." And then their collaborative effort allowed Samuel to correspond with the Lord and follow the discernment necessary to be within God's will the way He wanted it. It took time. It took a collaborative effort. I mean, it was out of left field. He wasn't expecting to literally hear God's audible voice in the middle of the night. It took time to process. It needed to be submissive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. We can also turn to Jesus to understand how one's thoughts need to be empowered by the presence of God. If we look in Luke 24, when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, you'll see in verse 45, this is one I would start, by the way. It also pertains to us, I believe. Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. That's powerful. There it is. The Holy Spirit at work in communion with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being submissive to the Father's will. Here we see the Trinity at work in a very powerful way, opening the minds of the disciples to fully understand that which is taking place. But you see, that was allowed to happen because the disciples were receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit and were receptive to the Lord's will. Jesus knew it was now time for them to fully understand His Lordship. The disciples were ready to humbly embrace whatever it meant to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and follow that discerning along the way. And that begins by living with Spirit-led thoughts. I can remember several times vividly when that has occurred for me personally. I'm sure we can all remember from time to time moments like that. You've heard me preach about markers we have in life, those powerful moments that we have in life. One time where I know the Holy Spirit was guiding in a tremendous way that just could not be denied was just prior to attending Campbell University. That really came about rather quickly, but then again, not because of all the preparation and I believe submissiveness to the Holy Spirit's will prior to that. But a lot of conversation with friends and family was taking place. And more, Campbell University began to be a part of that conversation. I wasn't really sure how or why, but as conversation continued to evolve, prayers continued to evolve, discernment continued to evolve as well, and I can remember very specifically about three quarters of the way along that path before I actually enrolled and began at Campbell University, sitting at my parents' house. I was on the fireplace hearth there, and I was really processing things out loud with my mother sitting there and talking about, this is an opportunity. What does it look like? How do I do it? You know, what's God saying here? I don't really know why, Campbell. I have some ideas. I'm understanding some calling taking place here. And she listened and shared in prayer and shared in thought and, you know, said, well, absolutely the support is there, but you have to realize I don't have all the answers, and neither did I. There were a lot more questions than answers. We were aware of that. It was new territory, but we were prayerfully considering and discerning through the power of the Holy Spirit how to take the steps necessary to continue along that path to reach that new territory. You see, I had a lot of friends and family and church that was also submissive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And so through that collaborative effort, we were able to discern the path the Lord was leading me to. That was powerful. I applied not long after. I was beginning courses during Christmas break, starting that spring. It happened quickly, and the Lord opened doors. It seemed as if so many questions were being asked. When it finally started happening, answers came one after the next. Now, that did not mean that all the answers were in place. It still took a lot of prayer. Still does take a lot of prayer. A lot of conversation. A lot of discernment. Trusting the Holy Spirit's guidance every step of the way. Being submissive to the Holy Spirit. Empowering my thoughts. It boiled down to this. While I did not have all the answers, I knew the Lord was speaking. The Holy Spirit was convicting me to transform my thoughts and my actions. The main concern was this: I needed to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guidance empowering me every step, giving me the thoughts to ponder to keep the conversation going. That was the most important thing. Keeping the conversation going. That's such a necessary part of our Christian lives. Keeping the conversation going. I believe wholeheartedly that's what we need at Flat Springs Baptist Church. That's what every Christian needs. How to keep the conversation going. Our conversation must include the way we are being sensitive to the Holy Spirit guiding us, showing us discernment, empowering our thoughts, thus guiding our lives. And here's the key. When we do this collectively, when each individual can honestly say they are submissive to the Holy Spirit, empowering their thoughts, thus guiding their lives, the church is alive and well, functioning as it should. And collectively, watch out, Be ready for the Lord to move into new territory, no matter where it may be, because the Lord will be glorified, His will be done, and His kingdom will grow. Keeping the conversation going. I pray we're humble to the Spirit's direction and discernment collectively. We have to trust one another in that. It takes a lot of conversation, a lot of pondering, as we've read about. So I want to ask, how are you experiencing the Holy Spirit lead you at this very moment? Think about that. I try and read a scripture passage that we often read at Christmas and really pause and reflect on what's happening. And this time it dealt with Mary and her pondering, treasuring things up in her heart. Like we've talked about, my goodness, how could she possibly do that with so much information and so many extraordinary experiences coming before her? But she trusted the Holy Spirit's guidance, discernment, and path. What thoughts course through your mind during the week? What do you think about the most? What has your attention during the week? What gets the majority of our attention as a church? Are we sensitive to how the Lord is leading us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Or, as we often do and all are susceptible of, do opinions sometimes cloud our minds? There's only one way for the church to function. There's only one way for a Christian to function, living empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have to believe that wholeheartedly. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus the Son. We need to always, always practice our belief in the Holy Spirit empowering us as well. Holy Spirit's called guide, counselor, comforter for a reason. I pray we are communally seeking the Lord's will as the Holy Spirit guides us one day at a time. I'm sure if you have thought just for a moment about all the things you do think about during the week, there's a lot that's going to take place this week. Some of it easier than others. Some of it very difficult. All of it, nonetheless, very important because God has given us the life to experience it. And so I pray that we continually become aware of how the Holy Spirit should be guiding each and every step. Hopefully, Mary's ponderings has helped us better appreciate the way that is supposed to be lived out. Hopefully, Mary's ponderings can help us appreciate the way the Holy Spirit is supposed to always empower our minds and have holy thought circulating through our hearts and minds each day of the week. I pray that prayer for us this week as we walk out of these doors, empowered by the Spirit. Because, as Christians, we are called to live with Spirit-led thoughts. Let's pray about that. God, we come before you at this time again and again, and Lord, that never grows tired. It actually empowers us each time we bow our heads and spend time in prayer, because then we are being submissive to listening to you and your voice. God, we know that is realized through the power of your Holy Spirit, and God, we want to experience just that this week. God, give us specific opportunities this week to experience the life your Holy Spirit gives us when we are fully submissive to your will. What does that look like with our conversations, with our relationships, with all that will take place in a busy week in front of us? May we find the holy in each moment of that week, this week. We pray these thoughts and prayers in your Son's name. Amen. At this time, we're going to have everyone turn to 545. As our tradition, I will stand in the front, and this is a time to share how the Lord may be leading your thoughts in your life at this moment, whether it's for the first time you want to say, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to follow His will every day of my life. That would be wonderful to share now with the church. It may be something where you just want the church to pray about something or an encouraging word for the week ahead. Whatever it may be, I'll be standing here as Jimmy comes forward here to lead us in our prayer of discernment and decision. I've enjoyed our time of worship. I hope you all have as well and are ready for the week that is ahead. Be mindful of all that's in the bulletin. You'll see many announcements in there. I don't want to take time to go through that exhaustively, but make sure you are aware of all that is taking place. God is up to great things continually through our church, so I hope you are finding ways to continually be a part of that. And so now let's have another prayer as we leave our worship time together. God, guide us in the week that is ahead. Empower us through your Holy Spirit. Move through us in all we do and say. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Share Christ's love.